this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we know a little something of our own neededness. There speaks to you right now a needy sinner, a needy preacher. I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need the very presence of the Spirit of God to enable me to deliver the message that I believe you have laid upon my heart. And Lord, help me to speak to these people indeed from my heart, to speak with clarity, to speak with simplicity, and to speak only the very truth of God. And I ask for these who sit before me and those who are joining us by way of the live stream, Lord, would you likewise help them? Give to all a hearing ear, the hearing ear of faith, to embrace the word of the Lord. Give to us, to all of us, a humble spirit, indeed, to bow before you and to worship. And Lord, give the spirit of understanding and of worship as we consider the very priesthood of the Old Testament. Lord, we do so with thanksgiving for that priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the only mediator, the only great high priest we have, one who deals, Father, with you for us. And that one who is also your prophet, who speaks to us from you. May this service be honoring, Lord, to you. May you receive all the glory, all the attention. May our souls make our boasts in the Lord, seeing that you are good and you are kind and you're merciful to reveal yourself to unworthy sinners like ourselves. Speak to each of our hearts, we ask, and may the sweet and precious name of our Lord Jesus, who is our Savior, our Advocate, our eternal surety, that one who shed his blood to redeem us, may he be the focus of the message. And may all of us leave here today believing in him, resting in him, and having an understanding of the necessity of being found in Christ Jesus and in his righteousness. So bless today as the word goes forth. We ask these things for our Savior's sake. Amen. All right, we're in Exodus chapter 28 this morning. And here we read of the garments that Aaron, as the high priest, must wear, his official garments. But we also read of the garments that his four sons, who are the priests, the garments that they must wear as they minister to the people on the behalf of God. Let me begin reading again at verse 1, and I say again because I've read these verses to you before. But they will be with a different emphasis this morning. God tells Moses in chapter 28, verse 1, and take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with you. Take them from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother. And I want you to take note of these next few words. Here's the title of the message for, here it says, glory and for beauty. These garments, the Lord says, that Aaron will wear, and then Aaron's boys, his sons, will wear. They're for this reason, they're to wear them for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Now these are the garments that they shall make, and these are Aaron's very special garments. These are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre, and a girdle, or a sash. And they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother and his sons, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And they shall take gold and blue and purple and scarlet and fine linen. Now these specific garments that are mentioned here in the fourth verse are for Aaron. He is, after all, he's going to be the high priest of Israel. Now, if you will, go over toward the end of the chapter, and I'll begin reading at verse number 40. And for Aaron's sons, thou shalt make coats, thou shalt make for them girdles, and bonnets shalt thou make them. And hear these very same words, for glory and for beauty. So what we have here, the garments that Aaron are to wear as the high priest of Israel, they were made for him for glory and for beauty. And then the Lord addresses the garments that Aaron's sons will wear as they minister in the tabernacle. And he says the same things. They shall be made for glory and for beauty. These are the garments that God has designed for the priesthood, for both the high priest and Aaron's sons, the priests. But I want you to notice this. And for this, I want you to go over, first of all, go to chapter 39. Chapter 39. I want you to notice that those garments that were made for the sons of Aaron were also to be worn by Aaron one day a year. In other words, Aaron had two sets of clothing. He had the whole high priestly outfit. And whenever he ministered on the behalf of the people in the tabernacle, he was to wear all of that clothing that God ordained for him to wear. But one day of the year, he wasn't to wear those. One day of the year, he was to dress just as the sons dressed, with the priest's clothing. Let me begin reading here in chapter 39 of Exodus. I trust you're there. And look at verse 27. And they shall make coats of fine linen of woven work for Aaron and his sons, and a mitre of fine linen, and goodly bonnets of fine linen, and linen breeches for of the fine twine linen, and a girdle of fine twine linen, and blue and purple and scarlet of needlework, as the Lord commanded Moses. So they make all of this, and then drop down to verse 32. Thus was all the work of the tabernacle and of the tent of the congregation finished. This is the end of the making of the tabernacle. And here's when you say, Jim, what's the point you're driving at? Nothing was finished until there was the priesthood with their garments. Because these were the men who would minister in the tabernacle on the behalf of the children of Israel. And it is only after they had these garments made for them, Aaron's high priestly garments, which he wore any time he went into the holy place to minister on the behalf of Israel, as well as the garments for his sons, garments which he would wear himself one day of the year, that being the Day of Atonement. It is only after these garments are set forth and God describes them to Moses, they're to be made in this way. It is only after those were made that then we have the tabernacle being finished. And so here's what we want to take away from that. There was no finishing of the tabernacle until there was a person or in this case, five people who were ordained to minister unto the Lord on the behalf of the people and to minister to the people on the behalf of the Lord. Israel had to have a representative. And of course, the chief representative of Israel was the great high priest, or the high priest, I should say, that is Aaron. The Israelites themselves, they could only come so far toward worshiping God, but they couldn't enter into the holy place. And certainly they couldn't enter into the Holy of Holies. They had to have a legal, divinely appointed representative or mediator, that's a good word here, to speak to God and to deal with God on their behalf. While the Israelites, they couldn't even offer their sacrifices to God. They brought the animals. They would put their hands upon the head of the animals and they would confess all their sins. And there was, in a symbolic way, a transference of guilt, not in a real way. But what was happening then was a picture of that which would happen at the cross of Calvary. When all of the sins of all of God's true Israel were indeed imputed to, reckoned to, transferred to our Lord Jesus Christ. And He, as our representative, we can't do business with God. God's consuming fire. See, the Israelites, they couldn't go into the holy place. God'd kill them. They'd be struck with fire. The Bible says our God's a consuming fire. Well, then who's going to deal with God on the behalf of sinful Israel? And who's going to deal with God on behalf of us? We're sinful people. And I'm sure that the half has not been told concerning our depravity and our sinfulness. But we're all of such a nature that we cannot draw near unto God, for God is a consuming fire. He will destroy us. We must therefore have one who will step in between God and us and deal with God on our behalf and deal with us on God's behalf. That's the great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. And He is eminently qualified. You see, learn this. The garments that Aaron wore every day of the year except for the Day of Atonement, those garments made him to be, or they were for him, as garments of glory and beauty. Because he was not glorious and he was not beautiful. It was the garments that were designated for him that then made him to appear glorious and beautiful. But our Lord Jesus, He is Himself all glorious and beautiful. Himself. Aaron didn't have that. You see, Aaron was just a sinful man. We behold the sovereign grace of God in separating Aaron from the rest of Israel. He's of the tribe of Levi. God said, "This is my man here. I'll make him to be a high priest." But he's still a sinner. He's still a sinner. He has no glory about him. He has no beauty about him. That's the reason it says back over here in our text in chapter 28, "You make these holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty." He didn't have either one. There's no glory to Aaron any more than there's any glory to you. And glory has the idea of an honor, dignity. That's a good word here. He had no dignity in and of himself. He had no honor in and of himself. He's a fallen son of Adam. And you don't have any glory. You don't have anything special about you. Anything that sets you above others. The word glory means dignified. Whereas the word beauty means rank or excellence. Aaron didn't have any glory, he didn't have any honor, he didn't have any dignity, and he didn't have any glory. He didn't have any greatness. He's just like all other men. And the same is true of all of us. We're those of us who are the children of God, we're the priests of God, right? The Scripture says that, we're priests. But we have no inherent glory or beauty. And if we are to have any glory and beauty, one who is all glorious himself, one who is all beautiful himself, who has a rank above all other men, he must give us glory and beauty. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Consider Aaron. Let's consider Aaron first. And I'll spend the bulk of my time this morning dealing with Aaron. And then we'll talk about his sons. Aaron was chosen by the Lord to be the high priest of Israel. That he's the one who would deal in things pertaining to God. He was their mediator. And in that sense, his sons also pictured our Lord Jesus, for they were mediators. They were mediators. They offered to God the sacrifices of the people. The people couldn't offer them. You couldn't put your sacrifice up on the brazen altar. You couldn't go up and wash in the laver. Certainly on the Day of Atonement, you couldn't go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the mercy seat with blood. Aaron was the priest, the high priest, and his sons were the priests. And they stood between the people and God. Here's what if God would help me to impress this upon your heart. The Spirit of God must impress it upon your heart. I know that. But you've got to have somebody, I've got to have somebody who will deal with a holy God on my behalf. Somebody who'll speak to God for me. Somebody who will labor for God in a perfect way for me. And I must have one who will offer the sacrifice of all sacrifices that will once and forever put away all of my sins. That's who I need. That's who you need. That's our great high priest. That's one far greater than Aaron. You see, with Aaron, though God chose him to be the high priest of Israel, and with his sons, though God chose those four men to be the priests of Israel, before they could offer a sacrifice for anybody else, they'd offer a sacrifice for themselves. Because they were sinful men representing sinful nation. So Aaron, on the Day of Atonement, when he didn't wear his sparkling garments of the high priest, he dressed like the other priests, all in white. And first of all, he had to offer to God a sacrifice for his own sins. And only then could he offer a sacrifice for others. Let me show you that. Look at Hebrews chapter 7. If you would, Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. And look at verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Well, it's kind of hard to know exact where to... Look at verse 23. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. They died. The death of one priest meant that they had to have somebody take his place. But this man who is the all-glorious Son of God, this man, because he continueth forever. You say, well, he died. Yes, he did die. But he's raised again. He was raised again because our justification had been sealed by his blood. We're justified by grace in old eternity. We're justified at the cross of Calvary by the bloody death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sealed the covenant. And because he had already obtained redemption for us, and because he justified us, he was raised from the dead. He continues forever. He ever lives to make intercession for us, Romans 8 says. It says, but this man, man's in italics, but it's to be understood. He's speaking of this Jesus who has made, he's made the surety of a better covenant. But this man, because he continueth forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. You see, the priesthood of Israel, it changed quite often. Every time there was a death of a priest. But our Lord Jesus, he maintains his priesthood. But look at verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. That means perfectly and completely. For all time and for eternity. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Those are really key words. You can't come any other way. Well, preacher, what about people who don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, but they talk about they believe God? They can't come to God any other way except by him. So, well, you're leaving out a bunch of people. I'm not leaving out anybody. God leaves them out. This is the Lord. This is a divine word from the Lord. Those that come unto God by him, not by the church, not by the Pope, not by works, not by baptism, not by the Lord's Supper, by him. He said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what he said. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Look at verse 26. For such an high priest became us. He's suitable to us. This is just the kind of high priest we need. We don't need a high priest like Aaron, because everything he did was of a symbolic nature, a typical nature. But our Lord Jesus, he's perfectly suitable to us. Well, how is he? Well, he's holy. He's harmless. He's undefiled. He's separate from sinners. He's made higher than the heavens. Now watch verse 27. Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins. That's the first thing Aaron had to do. He had to offer sacrifice for his own sins. And then for the people's. But of our Lord Jesus, this he did once. He died once. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever to God. One time. One time, when he offered up himself. Who offered him up? He said, I offer up myself. He is the offering offered to God, and he offered himself. And then he says, for the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity. Bless his heart, Aaron, he had infirmity. You wait till we get to the next message. I won't deal with it next Lord's Day, but the next Lord's Day, he had infirmity. He is a sinful man. And he's going to show us that. Actually, I should take that back. The Spirit of God's going to show us that. That he's just a sinful man. Don't worship Aaron. Don't worship the preacher. I know we're to esteem the servants of God, esteem them highly for their work's sake, but don't you worship any man. I put my britches on every morning just like you do. And I drink iniquity like water just like you do. And my thoughts are not holy and without blemish just like yours are not. Worship him who is perfect in every way. We have infirmity. See, that's here's the problem with following a man. If you just follow a man, well, when he dies, your religion dies. Or when he does something that brings dishonor to the name of God, then you say, well, there's nothing to this. Oh, there is something to this. There's just nothing to that man you've been following. You got the wrong idea. Preachers are people. We're sinful men like everybody else. I'm a sinner seeking salvation in Christ Jesus. I'm still a mercy beggar. I come to the Lord every day. I say, Lord, show me mercy for Christ's sake. Forgive me. Forgive me. Look on me in the righteousness of the beauties of your own Son. I'm as vile as anybody in here. Because none of us are good. There's none good. No, not one. That's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. There's not a justified man. There's not a righteous man in this world who does good and sins not. Well, that seems like you're saying it wrong. A righteous man, but he can't do good. We're righteous in Christ Jesus. Who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption? But as far as we're concerned, unclean, unclean. That's all of us. We worship God, but we sure have the infirmities, don't we? Yeah, we do, and we acknowledge that. But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. Let's talk about Aaron. What were his garments? Well, he wore a coat. It wasn't a coat like we think of. This is an inner garment, an undergarment, if you please. It's described in Exodus 28 in verse 4, and in verse 39. In Exodus chapter 39, verse 27, it's called an embroidered coat of fine linen of woven work. This beautiful fine linen represents righteousness and purity. It's worn next to the body. And it speaks of our Lord's, His true purity and righteousness. There was no fault in Him. The Father examined His life from His birth to His death. And then an ungodly man, an ungodly ruler, Pilate, he spoke for everybody. I find no fault in this man. There wasn't any fault in him. That's the coat. And then there was the robe. The robe, the Scripture says, was worn over the white linen coat and was all of blue. It was blue in color, and it was, the Scripture says, curiously wrought. It was woven of gold. That speaks of divinity. And blue, that speaks of the fact that He's from heaven. And purple, He is the King. He's the royal one. And scarlet, He's the one who shed His blood. Curiously wrought. What the Scripture says about His robe is curiously wrought. And I think there of His incarnation. Curiously wrought. So much so that the angel, the messenger from God said to Mary, that holy thing formed in you. Curiously wrought. This robe of blue was worn by the high priest, and by the high priest only. And it represented something belonging to the Lord Jesus, which cannot be put upon His people. I know He gives us a lot. He gives us all that we need. But this blue Rome speaks of something that he cannot impart to anybody else. Deity. Deity. I think it was last year, year before last, it was a sign on the Catholic Church down here. Jesus became all that we are so that we may become all that he is. That's not right. He's God. Do we become God? Do we become little gods? Oh, no. I know we have the life of God in the soul, but we're not deities. We never will be deities. We never will be gods. Our Lord Jesus is the everlasting God, and we worship Him as gods. If we became gods, then people could worship us, I suppose. But we don't become gods. No. And this robe speaks to us of His deity. Attached to the skirt of the robe were golden bells and pomegranates. The golden bells speak of, they made a joyful sound. And that's the gospel. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. How does He do that? How does God save us? How does Jesus save us? By His sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. This is the answer to the question of all questions. How can God be just and justify the ungodly? The golden bells ringing. And those golden bells, as Aaron worked about the tabernacle, those golden bells gave a beautiful, joyful sound to the Israelite. As they heard those bells ringing, they could say to one another, "Hear that? You hear that? Isn't that a lovely sound? There's one representing us to God. There's one burning incense to God, making intercession for us. There's one trimming the lamps, keeping the Spirit of God upon us. There's one there at the table of showbread who speaks of the bread of life." Oh, the joyful sound of the bells. And then the pomegranates, that speaks of fruitfulness. And you cut a pomegranate in half. You open it up, it's full of seeds. Because our Lord Jesus, He gives birth to an infinite number of people. And all of those seeds are floating in red juice, speaking of His blood. Blood redemption. And then there's the ephod. This part of the priestly attire was worn above the robe of blue. Kind of a vest. Kind of think of a vest as far as the ephod was concerned. Like a short coat with no sleeves. Sometimes in Michigan I wear a suit with a vest. And one of the men in the congregation was from England. He'd said it's a short coat. Well, this ephod was like a short coat, had no sleeves, came to the waist. Had two parts, front and the back. Joined at the top with clasps of gold. And in those clasps of gold, there was on one side an onyx stone, and on the other side another onyx stone. And on each of those stones were engraved 6 tribes of Israel on this one, 6 tribes of Israel on this one. When Aaron was ministering before God in the high priestly office, he bore the tribes of Israel. He bore all the people upon his shoulders, which pictures this. Our Lord Jesus bears us upon his mighty shoulders. He carries us. If you have an opportunity to read Luke chapter 15 this afternoon, it begins with the shepherd who finds the lost sheep and he picks it up. Where does he put it? Up on his shoulders. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus, He bears all of His people upon His mighty shoulders. You can't fall because you're upheld by the mighty Son of God. And then there was the girdle that was connected with the ephod, made of the same materials. Kind of think of a sash around his waist. The girdle speaks of one who serves. The Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "The Son of Man has come not to be ministered to, but to minister." He said, "I didn't come for you to serve me. I came to serve you. I came to do something for you." In this matter of salvation, man always wants to do something, doesn't he? Got to do something. Well, what? Tell me what I've got to do. I'd rather tell you about what's been done. The Savior has finished the work of redemption. He served us. And Isaiah says in Isaiah 11:5, "Righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins." And then there is the breastplate. It was not to be loosed from the ephod. It's typical of something that belongs to Christ our Mediator. On that ephod were 12 stones. They were sewn in four rows. The 12 tribes of Israel. You see, our Lord not only carries us upon His shoulders, He bears us upon His heart. And then there's the mitre. That's the headpiece of the high priest. And he was made of fine white linen. It wasn't an elaborate headpiece such as the Pope wears. What he wears is in the shape of a fish head. Like Dagon. Dagon's head in the book of 1 Samuel. The shape of a fish head. Our Lord Jesus didn't wear that. He, as our great high priest, wears a mitre. Fine white linen, which had upon the front of it, in pure gold, these words, "Holiness to the Lord." Holiness to the Lord. You can be sure of this. Whatever God does, it will be done according to holiness. That's true of all of His works. God has a holy love and He has a holy hatred. He is holy in all of His ways. It's a humbling truth, but one full of comfort nevertheless. He wears this, the Scripture says, Aaron would wear it that he might bear the iniquity of holy things. You know, we're involved in a holy service this morning. That is, we're trying to worship God. But there's iniquity in our holy things. But our Lord Jesus bore the iniquity of our holy things. He bore them away at the cross too. So there's the garments of Aaron. And then there's the garments of his sons, which really we don't need to go into because they were the garments of fine linen, white. But what I would have you to remember is on that Day of Atonement, Aaron laid aside all those garments I just talked about. And he put on the garments of his sons, the priests. In other words, he laid aside those beautiful, glorious garments. And now he appears to be as a simple priest. Do you not see there the incarnation of our Lord Jesus? As he, as it were, laid his glory aside and came down here, but all through his life, a life lived of perfection according to righteousness. And as that man, Christ Jesus, he had glory. In fact, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, he said this, and let me just read it to you. You won't have time. You don't need to take time to get there. Chapter 17. He says to the Father, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." He had an indescribable honor before he ever came. And now as the God-man, being the legal representative of his people who lived for us and who's going to die for us, who arose for us, who ascended and intercedes for us, he says to the Father, "Glorify thou me with the same glory, though I'm the man, Christ Jesus. Glorify this man." And the Father said, "I have glorified." He said this in John 12, "I have glorified you. I have glorified you." And then our Lord had a beauty. Glory and beauty. High rank and excellence. That's his. That's his. And he was made like unto his brethren, yet without sin, clad in garments of a priest, as he faithfully obeyed God. And then, in that act of obedience, he laid down his life for us to put away all of our sins. And then he took that life again. This is indeed our Savior, full of glory and full of beauty. Let's sing one stanza of our closing song. And